large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. And in verse 12, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar.
Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew in the 6th chapter. Let us listen now to God's word for us. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And now in verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father. Only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you brought us to this place. Your word is before us and within us, and in the very air we breathe. Open our hearts. Rend them to Christ, that what we hear and understand would bear fruit in your name. Amen. Amen. You all have been teaching us some things since we arrived here. You can laugh as you recall what those things may be. What is she going to say? This year, I learned something new from you, that after a few years, when you put soil in a raised bed garden, it loses its richness. It gets depleted, and you have to change it out or replenish it somehow, or this year's tomatoes are not going to be as good as the ones you did 2 years ago. You have not yet made gardeners out of us, I will admit. But we love the fresh goodness we get to share with you. I thought dirt was just dirt. But no, it has a microbiome. It has nutrients. It has living things that you're not supposed to scream at. It has a whole hidden world growing in it that the eye cannot see, that the mind even struggles to fathom. The dirt is alive. And when it gets depleted, when the richness grows out of it, you don't just throw it away. You tend it. You replenish it. You maybe put worms in it. You give it what it needs to bear life again. Friends, this is what we are here for tonight. Rend your heart, the prophet Joel says. Open yourself. If we were soil in a pot, get your hands dirty. Let out your tears, let out your grief, let out your anguish, all that stuff that's been compacted. Because when we open ourselves, that's when the light gets in. We invite you, in the name of Christ, in the name of this one who was tempted, who endured, who showed us what it is to be fully human. You know, he was a carpenter. I bet he got splinters. We walk in the way of this one who showed us how to be faithful, how to grow, how to be holy. We invite you tonight to begin the journey of a holy Lent. Holy, that first part, isn't just what's in my kids' genes. Holy means set apart. And Lent comes from this old English word that means lengthen, the lengthening of days. And so as the days grow longer, we set ourselves apart. And what is it that we set ourselves apart from? We set ourselves apart from showy religiosity. We set ourselves apart from piety that looks moving on the outside but doesn't do anything to that dirt in us. Jesus is pretty direct about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, don't do it for the audience. Don't do it to be seen, but do it because you are beneath all the performance and the posturing. You are a creature who needs God. I am a creature who needs God. We are creatures who need God. This treasure that we're storing up isn't found in the admiration of others, but it's in this quiet interior work of becoming who you were made to be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we set our sights on these practices of being fully human. Not the worst parts of being human, not the parts of being human that you go, oh, well, I'm just human. The parts of being fully human that make us creations of the divine, reflections of God. You know, we were knit together by divine hands. And in a few moments, we're going to be marked with these ashes. And I need to tell you a little PSA about the ashes. You can choose to be marked on your forehead or on your hand. Doesn't have to be. Or on your heart. You can just do the heart ashes. But in a few minutes, we're going to be marked with these ashes. And it's not a sign of our piety or a sign that we checked the box and came to Ash Wednesday. But it's a reminder that we didn't bootstrap our way to this earth by ourselves. We were placed here. We were sculpted here from carbon and dirt and mud by holy hands. And our breath, the breath we breathe, the breath we share in this place, and even out there, and when we're cutting wood and burning stuff and digging in the dirt, that breath is the very breath of God. It's important that we pause and remember these things. We are made from dust and dirt and gritty stuff, and we are given life by the breath of God. Those two remembrances, this dirty, gritty part and this breathy, holy part, those set us up towards this sacred journey of springtime, the Lenten journey towards the empty tomb, where we will say, "Hallelujah! He is risen! He is risen indeed!" But we don't get there. We don't get to the rising without the dying first, without that recognition that we are indeed human, human beings, beloved, mortal, made from the earth, not getting out of here alive in these bodies, and we are held by the one who made it all and called it good. And for now, in this season, the soil in us needs tending. And so we begin.
We'll close with a story. A pastor I knew, they were having an Ash Wednesday service, and the church wanted to make a big impression. And instead of just burning the ashes from the palms from the former year, they wanted to do it right there on the communion table in real time. And they had a little vessel that it was in, and they lit it. And for some reason, whatever happened, the flames went up like 5 feet. They could hear it crackling, and the congregation looking at the pastors like, "Is everything okay?" And the pastors looking around, "Is everything okay?" And the elders over there with his hands on the fire extinguisher thinking, "Is everything okay?" He said it took forever for those ashes to finally burn down. They prayed prayers, they sung hymns, and they finally burned down, and cooled off. And they did their service, and a lot of laughter, a lot of consternation. Should we do that next year? Should we get more fire extinguishers? And the next day, they're walking to the sanctuary from the office, and they're kind of deliberating, what should we do? And you know, one pastor said, "The real question is, why do we do these rituals at all? No matter how big or how small, why do we do these?" And when they picked up the vessel that they had used the night before, there was a perfect circle. And inside that circle was a perfect cross. Why do we do what we do? He said, "Take up your cross and follow me. In Christ, there is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. See, say the scriptures, everything is being made new. That's the promise. It begins in the heart, says the prophet Joel, and Jesus said, your heart is where your treasure is. Thanks be to God.